My name is Jake Maurer. I am a soil scientist at Texas A&M University, and this is going to be a pretty strange talk coming from me. I'm used to presenting data, and this particular talk is, I guess, a first for me, is I just want to tell a story about an international university linkage program that I was fortunate enough to participate in that had a lot of benefits for me, I think probably more than the other people that we worked with. I learned a lot. My eyes were opened by this. I got the chance to work with some colleagues at my own institution that I might not have had the chance to work as closely with. And there's a lot of benefits here. And we met a lot of nice people through this program by traveling to Tunisia, having them come visit us at Texas A&M. And this is not all of them, but I've listed a lot of co-authors because a lot of people were very involved in the meetings that we had and the plans that we made and the path that we've started on here. And I think it's really important to include them as I highlight this, some of the issues that we came across in this program. One is that the scholars in Tunisia are well trained. They're very, very well trained. And what they're missing is opportunities to do research, infrastructure funding, and funding even for publications. So I'm one of the reasons I have so many names up here is so that we can share the opportunity to have their names on a publication, even if it's a presentation. And so I'm happy to do that. And I sent a version of this to them yesterday. So we received this project from the U.S. Embassy in Tunisia. And, you know, it kind of fell in our laps, and it seemed like a great opportunity. Why would you turn this down? But we had a little bit of trouble making it come through. We got it all worked out, and we, in the fall of 2015, we took our first trip over to Tunisia in January of 2016. And when we arrived at the work plan that was described for this project, we had four project goals. One was to enhance knowledge of each institution's capacity and resources. And this is handled by us really meeting each other and beginning to talk and have conversations. The second goal was to build a strong cooperation for innovation. And our third project goal was to enhance technology and knowledge transfer between institutions. And I really liked this particular one because it sounded a lot like extension, which is my appointment in Texas. And then we also were charged with this goal of designing and initiating collaborative funded research for development between faculty at both locations, Texas and Tunisia. And so I think we've started down that path. And most of these goals we've done a pretty good job of achieving. So the activities that we had in this workshop, the activities in the project included four workshops that were designed to sort of achieve these goals through each workshop. And so in January, we took our first trip over there to meet everybody, and our goal to enhance knowledge of each institution's capacity and resources, pretty low-hanging fruit, very easy for us to do, and we met some great people. We had these conversations. You know, we sort of understood better the facts on the ground there in Tunisia, and it was great. It was very nice people. I really encourage everybody to get involved in linkage projects, and I hope that some of our national policies and our land-grant-level policies and university-level policies foster these kind of relationships. I know that they already do, but I think we don't have enough of them. And in June, we hosted a workshop with eight of the Tunisian faculty to come over. And we started building a strong cooperation for innovation at this time. We took them around several places in the state to tour our facilities. We decided that one of the things we needed to achieve was to initiate a curriculum development program. So we talked about the shape of that and how that would look. And we decided that we needed to write a white paper that described the issues, the commonalities between each place, Texas and Tunisia, the contrast between each place, what the strengths of a collaboration would be, and what were the priorities that we would like to work on together in terms of sustainable soil management. And we did a pretty good job with that. And so our third workshop came in the next year in the spring, and we hosted four early career scholars. And they came over and started working on curriculum development with our teaching staff and with our Center for Teaching Excellence. So we had faculty who allowed them to come and observe and sort of audit the class for a four-week period, and we had our teaching center help train them in curriculum development. This is, everybody really loved that part. So we started enhancing technology and knowledge transfer between the institutions, and that would have been the fourth workshop where they came. We had the scholars over, and then we also, in addition to curriculum development, had at least two of these people in the field with us, taking proximal sensor readings, in the laboratory preparing samples for NMR, allowing them to look at what we had available with the little money we had to work with to play with our equipment, design a really quick research project, jump into where we were doing things in the lab in the field, and just start gather some data, right? And then we could talk about using this as pilot data for collaboratively funded research in the future. And then if I backtrack here to the third workshop, our team of four from Texas went back over to Tunisia again, and we had the chance to present at a conference over there, which was really cool. Everybody spoke French, and none of us are really proficient in French, and we were asked to moderate sessions, so that was hilarious. And and we got a lot further in these last two workshops and really cementing what kind of research are we going to do? What are we going to do together? We got this white paper finished. We turned it into the embassy as a deliverable that really described, you know, what we're going to do together. So what we decided in the white paper is we highlighted some issues and established some priorities that we'd work on together. And the main theme was the restoration and protection of soil resources in Tunisia. The narrative that we get from the faculty there is that following independence from France or the, you know, the French colonial system really was managed as an intensive tillage, just turning the soil over, exposing it, deteriorating the fertility of the soil, and they felt like one of the things they really needed to focus on was building soil organic matter and getting more conservation practices into their farmers' lives. We all decided, because we have this going on in Texas, we have multiple distinct ecoregions, Tunisia has multiple distinct ecoregions, that we would look at these projects or potential projects through the lens of regional specificity according to rainfall, soil type, etc. And then we wanted to promote practices that can lead to soil organic matter improvement, a better understanding of soil biodiversity and functions related to land management practices. And remember, these are very well-trained people that have gone to Missouri, Arizona, Texas A&M, Lucerne, Lisbon. I mean, they've gotten their graduate degrees at the highest quality institutions. They have an understanding of what they think is important, but they don't have the resources, the funding, and the equipment to really achieve these things. So they wanted to work with us to integrate plant-soil system approaches and models, get involved in some sensor technology development and application, both for farmers and for researchers, and adopting new and improved crops that are adapted to the ecoregion scale. And this is a really important thing because Tunisia produces a lot of durum and bread wheat, but they have set a goal for themselves to produce a lot of wheat. Okay, they're not making that mark every year, and they might with the right varieties selected for the right ecoregions. And also, there was a real interest in getting acid soil tolerant forage sorghum and moving into more precision and site-specific technology adoption. And these are sort of the issues that I can highlight from the white paper. So these are lofty goals, right? And we have to start down the path somehow. So we bite off some easy bites to chew to begin with. And so the early phase objectives to my mind, were to secure funding for continued collaboration. We felt that everybody agreed that if there's a cessation of our relationship, it's going to be damaging to the collaborative forward momentum, right? We wanted to bring physical infrastructure and capacity up to the requirements for collaboration because currently they don't have the analytic capacity to perform the same research there. I mean, simple things like soil colorimeters, flame AAs, everything is deteriorated or missing from the laboratories. We decided that we wanted to foster cooperation and communication between multiple agencies. And this is a really interesting point because in Tunisia, they have multiple agencies responsible for supporting the agricultural sector. However, these agencies don't often cooperate and communicate with each other. And the Minister for Agriculture actually made a mandate, he put this to everybody, I want you to communicate and cooperate more. And so we had the opportunity to sort of kickstart that through our meetings with multiple representatives at the same time. and also to work within national policy limitations, and I'll highlight that in a couple of slides. This is a picture of the laboratory that was built in 1985 there by the USAID mission during the Reagan era, and there are two rooms that look like this, okay? Really nice lab benches, great space. The building is in amazing shape. They have a staff of four highly trained people with nothing to do. That instrument that you see on that other lab bench is no longer functioning. There is a whole room on the other side with completely empty benches. The fume hood is non-functioning. They can't work. So they're trading their technicians a couple of days a week with animal science and other things. And so I kind of latched onto this idea, having 15 years in soil testing. I said, you know, let's ask the U.S. Embassy to if they can fund some equipment. Let's get this place back up and running. Let's turn it into a service laboratory for farmers. Let's make it a platform for training technical staff, for training graduate students, undergraduate students, a platform for doing, you know, fundamental applied soil research, service soil research, the kind of things like correlation calibration experiments, getting on top of nutrient requirements for new varieties of wheat, olive trees, and everything else that they do well there. And so I think we've got initial interest in this project from the U.S. Embassy, and I think that they will be interested in funding it to the tune that we're interested in having it funded. Now, I mentioned that there's all these agencies responsible for supporting the agricultural sector. While I was there, we brought a lot of people to the table, and we had about 17 representatives from maybe 11 agencies, and it turns out that there are agencies and research centers that some of the people at the table weren't aware existed. I mean, that's how little communication is going on at this point. So we brought in the IBFA is the extension service. They're responsible for transmitting new research to the farmer or communicating recommended practices to the farmer. And they're very interested in getting conservation agricultural across, but it's not a very popular thing at the farm level right now. NGC actually is funded by the government, the Ministry for Agriculture, to do wheat research, and so they're lucky out of all these agencies. Everybody else is scrapping for money. DG ACTA is in charge of all the analysis of soils, and then CRRGC is a small central research center that does a lot of wheat research again. And IRESA is over just about everything, but they are not over IVFA, and they're not over ENGC, and they're separate from DG ACTA, but they work with the ministry, and they oversee the INAT, which is the National Institute for Agriculture or Higher Education, and they also work in some areas of research as well. And they are responsible for sort of coordinating with all of these agencies now, according to the Ministry for Agriculture. So I was talking about national policy level obstacles to overcome, and one of them that I think is important to highlight is that if you grow wheat and you harvest it, you are required to cut what's left for hay and provide it to animals, and you are required to leave that residue there and allow grazing farmers to come eat all of that residue off the land. You are not allowed to stop sheep or cattle from coming onto the land. This is a national policy. It's actually written in the legislative rule book. So what we wind up with is soils that look like this a couple of months after wheat and canola harvest. And we may not be able to move the ball forward on that, but when we're talking about building soil organic matter, what's left? I mean, how can you build soil organic matter if you're taking all of the residue off? And so we could work with biochar, compost, animal waste. And there are some sources of these sort of biomaterials, but we also can look more carefully at which roots we're putting in the system and how we allow those to grow. And so that's a major challenge if you want to increase soil organic matter and you're not allowed to leave any of the residue on the land. So that's a recap of our early phase objectives there, securing funding, bringing physical infrastructure and capacity up to requirements, and fostering communication between the multiple agencies and working within these national policy limitations over there. So I can see that Kip is getting ready to get a little closer. So this is a picture I took. This is some extension work, obviously not recently, but they had gotten a new John Deere in what appears to be the mid-50s, and were showing farmers this new piece of equipment. And it's hanging up in the IVFA, the extension building, and I thought this was really nice because everybody's really interested in technology, and they're just like the farmers we have in Texas, in that they want to do things better, and they want to steward the land they need the opportunity and the resources and the management practices to do that. And so I really am thankful for the opportunity, and I really appreciate all of you listening to my story. Even though I didn't have any error bars or trend lines, thank you for your attention. And